You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It is a remarkable thing that Jesus Christ did not surround himself with bodyguards. Crowds there were, and disciples he had, but not bodyguards.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, giver of genuine life, give us life with faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and with love toward you and all others around us. Help us to know and follow your will, joining the crowd of witnesses who own Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Bless with your Holy Spirit's power the broadcast of this good news of Jesus Christ to people all over the world. And at the beginning of this new broadcast season, help those who hear the word to believe it and keep it. In the saving name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Two's company, three's a crowd. It's an old saying. Being in a crowd may be comforting at a concert or at an athletic contest, but most of the time it's wearing and wearisome. Most people like to avoid the crowd. A crowd at an eating place makes for indigestion. Crowded stores raise tempers. Shopping carts collide with long lines at the checkout counter and use up minutes you would rather spend somewhere else. People go to the doctor and the waiting room is filled. The magazines are old and resentment grows against the people who are ahead of you as well as the doctor whom you want to see. Two may be company, but three is the beginning of a crowd. Once in a while, Jesus Christ went into solitude, too, in order to get away from the crowds. Most of the time, he was surrounded by people, people like us, pressing in on him and surrounding him, some praising him and others cursing him. Some listened to him and others plied him with questions. A good many wanted something for themselves, and a good many others wanted something for someone else, like healing or help of some kind. When he did heal a group of 10 men, only one of them returned to thank him. There were times when his disciples were driven frantic by the crowds, and they begged him, "Send them away, for they are crying after us." Everybody, it seemed, needed help of some kind or other. Everybody had some problem or other. Everybody wanted him to answer some question or other. It is a remarkable thing that Jesus Christ did not surround himself with bodyguards. Disciples he had, but not bodyguards. A few disciples and some friends generally were with him, but most of those who surrounded him were crowds, curious people, some of them looking for a sign, and others for a way to get their claws into him. St. Matthew tells us that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were distressed and scattered, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The crowds were the same. But he was different. Others resented the crowd. He had compassion on people. They looked to him like sheep without a shepherd. There was another time when Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I am unwilling to send them away hungry. With compassion he looked upon people as they are, knowing what they could be if only they knew him and his Father. All their wariness of others and their weariness of life, he recognized as being altogether human, knowing them as they were. He did not turn away from the crowds. He had compassion upon the crowd. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion because they were troubled and wandering aimlessly around like sheep having no shepherd. Today we begin the 47th year of broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ to people all over the world. We keep telling them about Jesus. We are not proclaiming ourselves, but Christ Jesus as the Lord. We tell people exactly what his men told their people about him. We have their witness. As one of them said, their witness is true. It is the word of Christ. He commissioned them himself to preach that word. He that hears you, he said, hears me. You can hear Christ himself talking to you today. The ordinary words of ordinary people proclaim the word of God, the good news of God, as we have it in Jesus Christ. Christ did not shy away from people. He did not neglect the lonely. He did not forget the crowds. He saw how the lonely draw away from others and become even more lonely. He saw how lonely people run together in crowds, often attracted by some new thing they never heard before, following a will-o'-the-wisp. The plight of humanity was his problem. Not just their problem, but his problem. For this he came, he said, to seek and to save the lost ones. Others might turn away, but he could not. Others might be turned off by the aimlessness of the crowds. But it was precisely this that turned him on. He went about all the cities and villages, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were distressed and scattered abroad, harassed and helpless, just like sheep without a shepherd. The crowds today are bigger than ever. The size of a crowd has become almost a barometer of importance. Hundreds of thousands turn out for a football match all across the world. A man who can attract crowds has just got to be important. Jesus Christ did not have to pretend that he was important. When you are the Son of the Eternal God, you don't have to go around proclaiming your importance. He did not. He looked at those crowds. He saw right through them. He saw right through people themselves. They run this way and that because they have nowhere to turn. He responded to that situation in a way that is completely characteristic of him. He had compassion on the crowd. Jesus Christ is good news. When it comes right down to it, he is probably the only good news our world will ever have. Other good news may look good for the moment, but it almost always turns out to be not nearly as good as it was cracked up to be. Sometimes it turns out to be genuinely bad. At other times, it turns to dust in the mouths of the people who have celebrated it as good. Out of all the D-Days our world has known, not one has brought genuine peace. Individually and collectively, people seek peace and cannot find it. They search for peace of conscience, even trying hard to live up to some righteous ideal, and they wind up where they started, getting distressed and at odds even with themselves. They feel helpless, powerless to change. There are promises from all kinds of would-be saviors. Those promises turn out to be misleading and even meaningless. The sedatives people employ to reduce their pain only produce more pain. The guilt they feel and try to cover up only arises to haunt them. The death they fear keeps coming closer all the time. Crowds congregate around the springs of hope, and that hope turns out to contain only more contamination. Jesus Christ came into the world by the design of his Father to revive the lives of people and make them new again. He did that with compassion, like the compassion of his Father. He told us that his Father is just and has not given up on a single one of his commandments to people. He holds us to account, and everyone will have to give answer before him. You all know that, and I don't have to prove it to you. What I must do is to tell you the good news of God. It is in Jesus Christ. The same God who has every right to pass judgment on you has compassion on you. You see that in the face of Jesus Christ. Have compassion on the multitudes, he said. They look like sheep without a shepherd. With compassion, Jesus Christ tells you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. You might like to hear that you're doing all right. You would like to have Jesus Christ say to you, you're okay. He does not. He says, you are not okay. Because you are not, he says, I have come. I'm here. I am one with you. And I am one for you. I give my life for the sheep. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Over a certain hospital, there stands the statement, mercy is room in our heart for the misery of others. That is what mercy is in the heart of God. Learn the meaning of mercy in the heart of God. We see the very soul of mercy in the person of Jesus Christ. It is mercy for you as it is mercy for everyone. He died for all, that anyone who lives by faith in him should learn what life is all about, not to live for himself alone, but for him who for our sakes died and rose again. There's a great word in the New Testament to describe Jesus Christ. It is the word grace. To some people, grace describes a certain style of living. No matter what happens, you're supposed to meet that situation gracefully. But that kind of stuff breaks down when the going gets tough. It is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, said St. Paul, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. In all of his wonderful Godhead, he became a man, a human being, just like us. He lived our life and died our death. He did that not just to live gracefully, but to show us and to give us the grace of God. The wonderful quality in the heart of God is that he has mercy and that he shows mercy undeserved. That is grace. Grace flows out of his heart to people who are distressed and helpless. By his grace, he lifts them up onto their feet and makes them walk again with heads held high. That's grace, the grace of forgiveness and the grace of life. The grace of God is in Jesus Christ. You see it there. The only place in the world where you will ever see it that way. That's why we tell people about Jesus Christ, bringing Christ to the nations. It is for everyone, everywhere. He died for all and he lives for all. He died for you and he lives for you. I'm telling you about it because he died for me and he lives for me. Jesus Christ does not turn his back on you. You may turn your back on him, but he does not turn his back on you. You may think that there is no way out, but he is the way out. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. And he meant every word of it. Father, forgive them, he said, for they do not know what they are doing. He meant every word of it. He means it for you. All the grace, the mercy, and the love undeserved in the heart of God toward you is summed up in that one word, compassion. Compassion for people. Christ himself said, what can I do to help? Then he proceeded to help. He was obedient to his compassionate Father right into death, and that the death of a common criminal. For that reason, his Father gave him a name, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ has the right to tell you what to do, and to condemn you for not doing it. What he actually does is to appeal to you out of his wonderful sonship with his Father, and in his glorious humanity, accept the grace of God he has to give. It is forgiveness, and it is life. It's a new way of looking at things and a new way of doing things. His way of looking at things and his way of doing things. It's not an easy way. Pray for those who have it in for you. Deal justly when others are prospering through unjust dealings. Show kindness when the whole world tells you to pay back in kind. Be a man when the whole world proclaims that showing compassion is being a mouse. Tell the good news of Jesus Christ, as the good news it really is, without worrying about what people are going to say about you. Blessed are the meek, said Jesus Christ. They shall inherit the earth. It sounds impractical and even impossible, but it is the only true thing there ever was in this world of ours. He is Lord, not the practitioners of power who live and die and are forgotten. He had compassion on the crowds and healed their sick, St. Matthew tells us. He had compassion on 5,000 people and fed them. He had compassion on the widow at Nain and restored her son to life. He told the story of the compassionate man who in compassion went to the beaten-up traveler, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He told another story about a father welcoming home a son who had not treated him very kindly. That father had compassion and ran and embraced the son and kissed him. If God has compassion on you, you can have compassion on others. Jesus Christ is Lord, and you can have compassion. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. He died for the ungodly, and he rose again to give new life to just such people as we are. People like you and me. That's another kind of crowd. The crowd of witnesses in the world, telling people about the grace and glory of God as you see it in the face of Jesus Christ. The power is there too. The power of compassion. It means to help. And it does. It means to serve. And it does. Altogether unafraid, wholly committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It reaches out in his great and saving name to touch the lives of other people with compassion. Turn, my friend, from that other way, the way of failure. It's just as unsuccessful as it is popular. Turn to him who is the way, the truth, and the life. He calls you, and he draws you to himself. Instead of going around with the crowd like sheep without a shepherd, turn to him. He is the shepherd and the guardian of your soul, the giver of genuine life. Amen.